Welcome back to the Wake Up Call on Sports Country. I'm Gene Gumbs, and joined by old friend Gavin Keefe of the New London Day. Gavin, thanks for taking a couple of minutes this morning, and we'll talk a little about the UConn men's basketball.
Well, anytime, Gene.
Do I have you, Gavin?
I'm here.
There we go. Gotcha. Hey, look, things are kind of a mess up there right now. At a time when we should be excited about kind of turning the page and seeing what kind of program Dan Hurley can build, it's kind of unfortunate that we've got to talk about this legal mess with Kevin Ollie. Do you think this is going to be sorted out soon, or at least from the NCAA's perspective, before the school year starts?
Well, you know, it's very difficult from the NCAA perspective when that's going to happen. I mean, things tend to drag on with the NCAA. I mean, obviously fans want that to happen, you know, before the season starts. But, I mean, it could be next month. It could be 6 months from now. It's really impossible to tell the timeline of when that's going to come down. I mean, the money situation with Ollie and his dispute will be solved before then. But it's really impossible to tell what's going to happen with the NCAA. And then, I mean, they're going to have to deal with whatever punishment that they're going to get for that. I mean, and that's impossible to tell, too. I mean, we've seen the violations that they've come up with, and on the surface, you know, most of them seem minor, but it's a pattern of behavior. And then you have to see how much you can pin on who knew what. So right. It's really hard to tell when the NCAA will come out with their investigation.
I mean, I guess, you know, and one of the things that's been raised is, look, there's been violations before in the UConn program. There were violations when Jim Calhoun was there. It didn't get him fired. And I think that's probably the, I think that isn't that kind of the direction where Kevin Ollie is going with this is, look, there's been mistakes made before. Why did this cost me my job, but it didn't cost Jim Calhoun, for instance, his job?
That's definitely their defense. I mean, that's what they're bringing up. Look what's happened in the past, and it didn't get anybody fired. Listen, we all know this. If they had been on a winning track with Ollie and been making the tournament on a regular basis, that they'd be defending him probably instead of firing him, you know? I mean, look at the violence. I mean, it's a, one thing that you kind of brought up. It is a pattern of behavior. That's the most concerning thing, I think.
Right.
I mean, he shot baskets with recruits. I mean, that's during an official visit. I mean, obviously that's minor. He arranged a video call with Ray Allen so he could talk to a recruit. And then the improper training sessions he arranged, a couple of his players flew down to Atlanta to train with a friend of his and stayed at the guy's house. So those are all concerning, and it's, once again, a pattern of behavior, and that's what UConn pointed out and why there's justification for firing him because of that. But, you know, on the surface, those violations, you know, put together don't seem like a big deal, and if you were winning, you'd probably be defending those, well, you couldn't defend all of them, obviously, but you'd be making a case to keep Ollie.
Well, you know, and I've talked about this from the very beginning. I always thought that Kevin Ollie wasn't going to get fired simply because the university was already paying a lot of money to Bob Diaco when they got rid of him for the football program. And so I didn't think that it, on the surface, it looked like a bad PR move in a state where the budget deficit is brutal to have our state institution paying, you know, $20 million to two coaches that they fired. And so by setting this up so that they can fire him for cause, they don't have to pay him off. They get what they want, and they also don't have to take the bad PR hit.
Yeah, I agree, but I think they're pretty confident, obviously, that, you know, the clause in the contract says, you know, you can't commit any NCAA violations.
Right.
So it's pretty specific, and I think that they think they were confident that they could go fire him and going to win the case. Obviously, the school can't afford the $10 million left on his contract. And it's going to go to arbitration, and we'll see what happens. But I think that they felt their case was strong enough that they were willing to take whatever gamble, you know, to get rid of him, that they wouldn't have to pay the money, that the contract just be voided. So I think that's why they decided to do what they did.
The guy I feel bad for right now is a guy, well, from your area down there, Glenn Miller, who got fired by Kevin Ollie and then kind of gets dragged into this thing by the NCAA, and now he's got Kevin Ollie's camp going after him, saying he's not a credible witness, which I think might be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. How can he not be a credible witness? He was there.
Well, they're trying to say, well, he has a beef with Ollie because they didn't get along, and you know, he was fired by him. And, I mean, some of the stuff he wasn't aware of, Glenn wasn't aware of, and some he was. I mean,
right.
He was in the, when this video call was made, he was in, it was at Ollie's house, I believe, and Glenn was there, but he wasn't in the room, but he was aware of it happening.
Right.
And then some of the other stuff he wasn't aware of, and that's why he got limited immunity, not because Glenn did anything when he went to testify for the NCAA, is because he was aware of some things and he didn't report them. But, you know, as his attorney points out, it put Glenn in a tough position. I mean, do we report violations to your own on your own head coach while you're on the staff? You know, it's a tough spot. And if it was something very serious, as his attorney points out, if it was something very serious, Glenn would have stepped forward and reported it. He wouldn't have, you know, just kept quiet.
Well, and he didn't have any choice but to comply when the NCAA asked to interview him, did he? I mean, he had to do it.
No, I mean, if he wants to work in the NCAA, work as a coach,
right.
He doesn't have any choice.
Yeah.
Oh, he has to step forward. And I read most, you know, it's a long, his testimony is very long, and I read it all the other day, and he did his best to give the information, but some of it, you know, he wasn't there or he wasn't completely aware of what happened, so it's hard for him to give detail. I mean, the thing about the $30,000 that he heard from his wife, that he supposedly his wife made friends with a UConn player's mother, and she was saying how, well, what a great guy Kevin was because he supplied him with $30,000 so she could move to Connecticut. Well, Ollie's lawyers strongly denied that ever happened. And since that, and they interviewed, the NCAA also interviewed Glenn's wife, so I mean, that wasn't brought up in UConn's case, so that's really kind of you know, unsubstantiated. So that's not, they're not going to base something on something they can't prove. And we don't even really know if that ever happened or that was talk. But Glenn was just being honest. And Glenn didn't know about that part until after he was fired.
Right.
So he wasn't holding back on that because he didn't know about it. His wife didn't want to tell him about it because she was afraid he would get into trouble. So after he was fired by Ollie, he found out about that. And then when the NCAA asked about him, he said, this is what I heard. But it's nothing that's been substantiated. So it's things like that that the NCAA is going to work on fact, and they don't have anything, as far as we know right now, that says that is a fact.
Well, and I think the thing that makes this tough for those of us that have met Glenn over the years, I mean, this is about as stand up a guy as I've ever met. You know, and there was never, you know, he's coached in been a head coach in three different places. There was never a whiff of a scandal anywhere he was. So this is a guy that, you know, I he's about as squeaky clean as they come, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and his lawyer said that in some of these cases where he thought maybe Ollie was stepping out of bounds, that, you know, Glenn did talk to him, mention something to him. And Glenn was a head coach for 17 years, had a clean record during his time. He was at Brown, Penn, and Connecticut College, and, you know, never had any issues. And, yeah, he has always been a stand-up, honest guy who's done the right thing. So Glenn's history indicates that, you know, he's a believable witness in any scenario, despite what all these lawyers are calling him.
The other guy you have to feel bad for here is Dan Hurley. I mean, it can't. You're coming into a new situation. You know, you're taking what could be, you know, I guess you have to call a step up coming from URI to UConn. But now you come in and you've got this mess in front of you. It can't be easy to recruit knowing whether your program might be facing sanctions or not. What do you tell a recruit when you're facing this?
Well, I mean, here's the thing with Coach Hurley. He was aware of this situation, obviously, before he was hired. During the interview process, he asked them about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said before that I was confident in what they told me, that, you know, basically everything was going to be all right. So I don't think he would have ever signed a contract if he thought that the school was going to be put on probation or something. So I think Curley's confident going forward. As far as what do you tell recruits, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, people are always going to use other teams, other schools' negative recruiting and use that information against you.
Mm-hmm.
And all Hurley can tell is what he knows and what he's confident that what might happen and what he's heard. And I don't know if it's a big factor right now because there's so much going on in the world, so many programs under investigation. I mean, people are still going to, you know, some pretty elite programs that names have come up with the FBI investigation. So I think it's so widespread right now. Until there's actual punishment where you know what's going to happen to a program, we really don't know how much it's going to hurt UConn. And I think it's a situation where it probably won't impact recruiting too much right now.
Well, let's get away from this. We already know what a mess this is. Let's get to some talk about the program itself. What's the buzz like on campus? Because I haven't been on campus since he's been hired. I mean, look, I know that I thought Kevin Ollie presented a good front for the UConn program. I thought he was generally a positive guy, and you know what happened on the court aside. What is the buzz on campus now about what Danny Hurley brings that Kevin Ollie couldn't bring to the program?
Well, first, I just want to say Coach Ollie turned around the program academically. He came into an academic mess, and he left it in great shape. So he did do some good things. Right. Obviously, it looks like he made some missteps here. And he won a national championship, but I don't care if you say it's with his players, somebody else's players. He won a national championship.
I actually said that this morning. I said he won it, but it wasn't with his players. But you're right. He still had to get him there.
I mean, it's not that easy. That just assumes that you could plug anybody in there and win the national championship.
Right.
So he, I think he's not getting enough credit for that. Now, as far as Coach Hurley goes, he's the perfect guy for what they need right now. The program needs a kick in the butt. He's that guy. He's honest. He's demanding. He's intense. The atmosphere is up around campus. The kids are welcoming it right now. I remember Jalen Adams saying, "This is just what we need. This is just what I need." You know, they got. Coach Ollie is the kind of guy who would kind of put a lot of onus on the players, saying you got to put the work in, you got to do this, and it's up to you. And where Hurley will be standing over and barking, you know, come on, let's go. Their practices are a lot more intense, constant movement, going from drill to drill, making everything a competition, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. Right now, he's not teaching that much because they have only an hour-long sessions
right.
when they work out. So it's a great atmosphere right now. I mean, we'll see. You know, it's going to get increasingly harder in practice, more intense, you know, when they start to play games. So we'll see if all these kids really want the tough love kind of treatment because they're getting it.
Well,
go ahead.
I think that, you know, I don't want to overstate this, but I think that UConn needs Dan Hurley because I think they need that program to do well. I mean, look, they've had so much success in women's basketball over the years, and obviously they've had success in the past with men's basketball, but men's basketball and football are the two sports that the majority of people look at, and those are the two programs in the last couple of years that have struggled about as much as you can struggle. So I have to think that it puts even more pressure on Dan Hurley to succeed there because of where things are with their two marquee programs.
Oh, definitely. And you know what? He just starts to bring fans back. He just starts to need to make steps in the right direction. You know, you guarantee this season they're going to play harder, and that's going to bring some fans back. We all, you know, there's nothing worse as a fan than seeing a team that doesn't play hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that doesn't require talent. So they're going to play harder. They're guaranteed going to be. I mean, I'd be shocked if they weren't better. I mean, that's what they need right now. And you know what? And people, you know, they don't like the conference. I understand that, but that's where you are right now.
Right.
But if you start winning in that conference on a consistent basis, once again, that people forget about the they'll probably never forget the Big East, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll be like, okay, let's go. They'll embrace the team more. We're getting to the tournament on a fairly regular basis. I mean, you should be getting to the tournament almost every season and be in contention. And everybody has a down year. Everybody has injuries every once in a while. But UConn as a program should be contending to get into the tournament every year. I mean, they won four national championships. That's really hard to do. And so you can't say, well, we shouldn't win a national championship in 4 years because we don't know that, you know, that's, I think the bar's been set so high and it's a different time. The college basketball, there's more teams competing for the national championship now. You see these mid-majors now getting far into the tournament. So it's a different situation now than it was before. But they definitely should be competing for NCAA tournament bids every year.
Well, I saw that their non-conference schedule came out, and you just referenced the Big East. They've got a couple of Big East opponents on there, and not the least of which is Villanova. Boy, that's a tough way to end out the first semester, December 26, against Villanova. I guess the good news is, though, you got them at home.
Well, actually, they play them in New York.
Oh, that's right. Is it at MSG?
Yeah, MSG,
okay.
And they play Syracuse at MSG. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, and that's what Coach Hurley and David Bennett, the athletic director, have said. They want to play more regional teams. They want to play more former Big East teams. They're going to focus on, they want to line up St. John's. They want to line up Providence, play Syracuse, Villanova. They want to play all those teams that make sense that live in the, I mean, last year they went to Arizona and they went to Auburn on a road trip. And they don't need to do it. That doesn't really make sense. For one, that kind of road trip with all the traveling you're doing in this conference already, it's too much. So, and they're playing Arizona at home to finish out their deal with Arizona, so they get Arizona at home this year, which it will be a good game. But you can play. There's enough regional rivalries and good teams in the area now that you can line up a lot of those teams, and that's what they want to focus on doing. And that's good to hear, and I think fans want to see that too.
Well, I think that it's a mess right now, but I guess if you're Coach Hurley, I guess what you have to hope is that, and again, like you said, with the NCAA, you don't know, but I guess if you're Coach Hurley, you have to hope by the time school starts that the Kevin Ollie thing has been settled, at least with the university, and the NCAA at least has come down and said one way or the other, so he can go into the start of this semester knowing exactly what he faces before him, because it's got to be tiring for him. At some point to say, when is this going to be over?
Right, and if say you've got some momentum built up and it's January 15th and then it breaks and then, you know, you've got to deal with it. It's a distraction.
Right.
But, you know, as you know in life, that it will only be a temporary distraction because some other program will get into trouble 2 weeks later and the focus will move on to somebody else.
I guess is it wrong if he goes to like church and prays that something like that happens, that please God let somebody else in the conference get in trouble?
No, I think they just want to get. I think that just to get it over before the season starts would be good enough for him. I mean, that's definitely what they would like to see. Just put this behind him and see what the punishment's going to be. I mean, who knows? We have no idea. The NCAA is so unpredictable. The way they dish out punishment. I mean, you've seen it in the past with other programs where you think, oh, they're going to really get hammered, and they don't. Then others you think, well, they didn't do too much, and they get hammered. So it's really hard to tell what's going to happen.
Well, and the last point on this, and then I'll let you go, but is it possible that because UConn was out front about this and they were on top of it before the NCAA was, and they fired their coach for cause, that the NCAA might say, okay, you guys did the best that you could do with this, and we'll let it go?
Well, it always helps if you're straightforward and honest as a school and you bring forth all the violations and say, okay, here's what we did, and then you also, you know, that always helps you. It always works in your favor if you're honest and straightforward from the start. So as far as what impact that has on the NCAA's decision, who knows? But it definitely helps if you know, you do your due diligence and show, okay, here's what we've come up with, and they said, and then you have to let the NCAA decide from there. But we'll have to just see what happens. It's so unpredictable with the NCAA. It's really hard to venture a guess of what potential penalties could be.
Well, Gavin, you've done a great job of keeping us apprised in the New London Day. You do a great job, and we'll talk to you down the road once these things come down, and we could talk about it, and hopefully talk more about basketball than about stuff that's going on in the legal affairs.
Well, that would be nice to talk about basketball for a change, and to see the program moving in the right direction. I think Coach Hurley's definitely the perfect man for the job. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for a few minutes this morning, Gavin. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Gene. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in a minute. You've been listening to The Wake Up Call on Sports Country.